Please be seated. And please do open your Bibles back to Mark chapter 12, the end of the chapter. And the title is One Coin or Two. Verse 42, a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few pence, worth only a fraction of a pence. Imagine you wanted to put some money in the church offering boxes that are at the back there. How would you feel if I was sitting at this seat, looking intently at you whilst you were opening up your purse or opening up your wallet, and you could see, what's Adam looking at? He's looking at me. And, I really wanted to do it quite privately. We don't talk about money, do we? It's not polite to ask people how much they earn and so on. But Jesus, he sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put in and he watched. What's he doing? He certainly isn't being a nosy Parker, is he? There's a reason for it. It's very important. He watched. He sat and he deliberately watched people coming in. And then he, verse 43, he calls his disciples to him. That's important. The rabbi is about to speak. And then he says, well, in the NIV it says, I tell you the truth. It's that amen. He says, amen, I tell you. So this is important. Money is important, but all that's going on behind the scenes is important. And Jesus watched in verse 41. Oh, but do you notice? Look what he says in verse 38. Watch. Watch out. Watch out for the teachers of the law. And then he berates the teachers of the law for their need of human praise and respect and honour and their greed for money. These two little sections then are linked by this phrase, watch. Watch out for them. And watch this little woman. Watch out for these men. They trust in people and they trust in money. Watch out for this widow. She trusts her life into God's hands. Where is their faith? So money can reveal a great deal about what we trust and who we trust. What matters to us. Where we find our security. Money is the issue here, but underneath it's all about faith. It may not be money for us, it may be more, well, what will people think? Where's my status in life? Will following Jesus impact and affect that? But you notice, it all hinges on two tiny coins. Here's the point, she had two coins. All her wealth, every last coin. And the woman has a choice. The widow has a choice. One coin or two. She did not have to give both coins to God. One coin would have been 50%. That's not tithing, is it? Tithing in the Old Testament was 10%. She could have given half. And maybe if she was a teacher of the law, she would have patted herself on the back and said, well done, good and faithful servant. She had a choice. Now, their value is tiny, but their significance is everything. Will she trust entirely in God alone? Or will she be like the religious leaders and hedge her bet? Will she make her contribution, but keep back a coin for insurance? That's the issue. Giving God two coins or one? What about you and me? In what are we trusting? Where is our faith? In people? In ourselves? In money? In this world, or in a mixture of all that and Jesus, or Is it in Christ alone? Have we put all our eggs in one basket? Have we put all our life in the hands of Jesus? Two coins. Or are we one coin? Jesus and something. Do you see? The money is insignificant, but the meaning is everything. Just got two things to say. There's two sections, there's 2 points. And the first one is this: watch out. Don't cling to the one coin. Don't cling to the one coin. So verses 38 to 40. As Jesus taught, he said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. Beware of those people who are so respected, so holy, so obviously religious, so keen to read their Bibles and so devoted to God. Watch out for them." Sounds a lot like us, doesn't it? Or at least it should. Watch out for the teachers of the law. This sounds crazy. But that's what Jesus is doing. The scribes, as they're also known, the teachers of the law, they wore long white flowing robes with tassels on the bottom. It was hard to keep white clothes clean, so it was for you had to do it. You had to fully commit if you were going to wear white in Israel. And they were revered in Jewish life. They were respected. When they walked through the marketplace, it was expected for everyone to stand if they were seated in the marketplace as they walked past. The only people exempt from that were those who were involved in manual labour, physical labour, or they were doing something difficult or dangerous. Everyone else, they stood. When the rich had their parties and their feasts, it was often the case that they invited the teachers of the law along with their disciples as to add their blessing to the event. Just being there meant that the event was, it was pukkah or kosher. They added gravitas, culture. And Jesus says, they are all a bunch of hypocrites and thieves. Yes, they're trusting in God. Of course they are. Yes, they read and love God's word. Yes, they pray. Yes, they fast. Yes, they observe all the duties that Moses commanded in the Old Testament. They're giving their one coin. But they are secretly keeping a second coin for themselves. They like to walk around and be greeted. They like the most important places. They like the top seats in the synagogue. I mean, we could all have all seats all up here, couldn't we, for all the best Christians in the church. What do you think? How would that go down? We know it's mad, don't we? But we wouldn't ever say that publicly, would we? But when we pray or when we do things, there's something. It's nice to be noticed, isn't it? Oh, and that can so easily become more than that. Oh, I wish I could preach like you, Adam. That's such a trap for me. Or I wish I had your love. So speak to someone, I wish I was like that person. You know, now, don't get me wrong. It's nice to commend people. It's nice to say thank you. We want to acknowledge gifts. Thank you for that. But these men were keeping, they were giving their one coin to God, and they were keeping a coin for themselves. Secretly. They actually put their faith in God and people, you see? These are not people who are out and out rogues in every way. They're not, as it were, godless, heathen, totally irreligious. They're not like that. They are mixed. And that is often the case, isn't it? It's very rarely a contrast between kind of the most evil and obviously pagan people in the world and those who trust in God. No, 9 times out of 10, the problem is one coin for God and one coin secretly for something else. As they devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. They're praying. Oh, but for a show. And it's the devout widows, the widows who loved God, they looked at the teachers of the law and they thought, well, these are God's men. So I will give of what I have. They would give their money to these men. they think they're God's men. And so I'm serving God, I'll give them my out of my resources. And Jesus says they're gobbling up these widows' homes. And verse 41, he says, such men, literally, will receive a wealth of judgment. Isn't that interesting? He uses the term wealth. They'll receive a rich judgment. God will pay them in full for their one coin and their one coin in secret. With biting irony, he says, oh, they'll be richly rewarded. They will get what they want and what they don't want. They'll get their coin. God will pay them in full for their half faith. Watch out, don't cling to one coin, says Jesus. This poses lots of tough questions for me and for us, doesn't it? Is my faith one coin? Is it mixed or is it two? Is it whole? I expect most of us would say, yes, I believe in God. Of course you do. But that's not enough. Many of us will say, I have a faith, absolutely. But it's possible to have all kinds of faith. Faith even in God, faith in the Bible, faith even in Jesus. And yet for us still to be trusting in a mixture of things. Because we're not trusting in Christ alone for everything. For our ultimate security. It's possible to live in a Christian way because of all the positives that come from that. It is a fact that those who attend church and have a, quote, Christian lifestyle live longer and are cheaper to insure and generally get better jobs and are generally better educated and their lives are happier. Religion makes people live longer and generally have healthier lives. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world? Yet lose his soul. Christians are nice people. Who wouldn't want to belong to a lovely bunch of people in church? They're so friendly, they're so kind. All these things. And then, of course, we are all very capable of wanting secretly the praise of people, aren't we? So young people, do you behave as though you love Jesus because you know that's what your mum and dad love? Are you doing it because you want to please them? Well, it's great that you want to please them, but look, Jesus is everything. That's why so many churches, of course, are willing to bow the knee to modern sexual ethics rather than risk being hated by the world, the wider world, because they love the praise of people, because the fear of people is a trap. We have a choice always, don't we? And of course today, sadly, we can see the extremes in our culture, can't we? There are still men like the scribes and Pharisees. Well, not just men. There are still men and women, leaders of churches, dressed in their white suits, riding around in their limousines, devouring widows' houses. Do you want to know the blessing of God? Just dial in with your credit card and God will bless you for blessing our ministry to reach the world. You love Jesus, we love Jesus, give us your money and we'll all love Jesus more. I mean, that's crude, isn't it? I'm caricaturing. Promising the blessing of God to all the faithful who willingly, and of course it's half true. It's not false entirely. God loves a cheerful giver. God wants us to be generous. Christ died for us. Who wouldn't want to, you know a person is converted when their wallet is converted. But, oh, we've got to be so careful. We must have a healthy doubt of our own hearts, mustn't we? And Jesus says, look, one coin isn't enough. You can't have half a bridge to cross a river. What good is half a bridge? We can't trust in Jesus and then maybe something else to get us into heaven. That's the lie of some of the churches, isn't it? Yeah, you trust in Jesus, but, oh, make sure you go to Mass Make sure you get penance. Make sure you say your prayers. And Jesus and you together. That's one coin. And one coin in your back pocket. We're saved entirely by God. And these men thought that they were saved partially by God and partially because they were just good eggs deep down. Watch out of the one coin. We have to search our hearts, don't we? Secondly, watch out. Give your life into God's hands. Calling his disciples to himself, verse 43, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. Wait. So these rich people who, notice, they throw their money into the, it's almost that you could make a meme of it, couldn't you? They throw their money into the receptacles. Apparently in the court of the women, which was a part of the temple, there were 13 big boxes, and they had these kind of receptacles, like trumpet-shaped receptacles. And people would go, and sometimes the priests might be there, and they'd have a discussion with the person and say, well, why are you giving this money? And they'd say, and sometimes the priest would say, announce the gift. Other times people would come in, but they throw their money in. It's well, we think it's laughable, don't we? But you see how it begins. We're to encourage one another in every way. And Paul says, copy me like I copy Jesus. And you can see how that can easily become, oh, look at me as I follow Jesus. And these men were the same. They want to show God's people, look, it's good to be generous. But you can see, can't you, how that can easily become, look at God. It becomes, look at me. They throw their money. That she, says Jesus, out of her poverty, put in everything. Jesus said she gave more. She gave more. What's he mean here? Well, it's very hard to put a precise value on how much this widow's gift was. Her coins were the smallest Jewish coin in circulation. The lepton, it was called. And it was worth about 1/64th of a day's wage, a denarius. So I went to check a trade, and I'm told that the average daily pay for a qualified tradesperson can be anywhere from 110 to £300 a day. 110 is a bit cheap, 300 is quite expensive. So, assuming then a denarius was for a labourer, an unqualified worker, let's say £100. So she's giving what, about a couple of pounds maybe? £1.50? £2 coins, let's say. That was all she had in the world. You can only just about buy a couple of Mars bars for that, can't you? But it's not the point. The value of a gift is not the financial quantity, but it is the relative cost to the giver. So when the woman poured out an entire jar of costly perfume on the feet of Jesus, its value was thousands of times greater, or hundreds of times greater, than this widow's gift. But Jesus praised them equally. This widow's gift, like the costly perfume that was it 500 days wages, maybe 500 denarii, they're the same because of the relative sacrifice of the giver and the heart of the person giving. I surrender all. That's what this widow is saying. I surrender all. All to him I freely give. I surrender all. So no gift is too small to be precious. Let me be clear, I'm not really preaching here, you must give more money to Hamilton Road Church. Let me be very, very clear about that. The Bible teaches, yeah, God loves a cheerful, generous giver. Give because Jesus is worth it. But this widow is teaching me and you something much more precious. This is really all about Who will I trust in to keep me alive in this world and to save me for the next? And notice how Jesus puts it at the end, verse 44. She put in everything, all she had to live on. Literally, all she had for life. She gave her life because she trusted Jesus. And this is about then who we trust. And of course, this is the challenge. I'm not saying here that you must sacrifice everything you have for Jesus and then you'll go to heaven. That's a complete lie. What I'm saying is that you have to give everything to God because He's the only one who can get you into heaven. Religion can be very dangerous when it says, trust in Jesus, and you're halfway there. That's good. Trust in Jesus, and then you must be a good boy or a good girl, and you must be faithful. You can be pretty confident, fingers crossed, if you're a nice person and you trust in Jesus, you can go to heaven. No. That's a lie. Why would Jesus die? Why would the Son of God have to die if we could kind of somehow, if He's just given us a leg up over a wall into heaven? Oh, you know, I'll put my hands here, I'll give you a leg up. No, He had to die because only He can save us. Imagine you go for a job interview. The young people going at a job interview and you're offered the job, the most amazing job. And you say, you know, we'd like you to start straight away. Great job, great opportunity, great conditions, just what your dream job. And then you say to the people, well, can you wait until tomorrow? Because I've got another interview tomorrow and I want to find out what they're offering as well. What would the employer think? You could ruin it all. No, the employer says, no, this is it. The offer is now. The offer is us. Here's the offer. You can't have a foot in two boats. It's not you and Jesus. It's not me and Jesus together who climb the stairway to heaven. Jesus reaches down and He says, let me lift you up. Give me everything. Trust me for everything. And I can save you. That's the only deal. Jesus paid it all. And that's what it means to give two coins. Who will we trust to save us? Will we have Jesus? Both coins. We commit. Will we trust in Him alone? Or will we hedge our bets? What does the Lord say in the book of Job? On that final day, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked will I depart. The Lord has given, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When we die, and they come to read the will, and they ask the question, what did they leave? The answer is, they left it all. And that's true of money, but it's also true of our righteousness and our good deeds. We leave it all. We can't do it. On that day, when we stand before a holy and powerful judge, with nothing in our hands. Because you can't hold on to something if your hands are full of something else, can you? You've all done it. I have. You've got a whole load of stuff downstairs. Maybe you've been working on the laptop, and you've got some books, and you've got a mug of coffee, and you've got a mouse, electronic mouse, and you've got pens and paper, and then you think, oh, I better tidy up. So you gather it all up in a great big pile, and then you start going up the stairs with your laptop and your mouse mat and your mouse and your pens and your paper and your mug. And what happens? It always happens, doesn't it? First the mouse starts slipping, then you move, then the mug goes, then you've lost it all. Why? Because you had too much in your hands. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. That's this widow. That's all who discover who they really are. That's how we come to the Lord. She gave it all. And that's what she's teaching us, isn't it? Faith in Christ alone. We are spiritually bankrupt before God. And our sin renders us in debt up to our eyeballs. We can't pay. And Jesus says, I will pay. If you surrender to Christ, if you give him your guilt, if you give him both coins, if you jump in with both feet, if you say it's faith alone in Christ alone, it's him or nothing. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It's these phrases. You will be saved. Jesus calls his disciples and he says, look at that widow. Now notice, he doesn't draw attention to her. He doesn't blow a trumpet. He doesn't call her over. He doesn't embarrass her, does he? She probably maybe doesn't even know that she's being spoken about. She goes on her way, oblivious. She's not interested in the praise of other people. She's not worried about what other people think. She's interested in her Lord and Saviour. Jesus says, look, this is real faith. Don't be afraid of what people think of you. It's a cost following Jesus. But you can give him your life and he will provide for you. Jesus says, trust me. That's what he says to us. I trust that we will today.